Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Hello. Hello. We're almost there.
All right.
Hey, long time no hear.
Yeah. How you doing?
Doing well. Super excited to hear you again.
Well, I'm alive. That's about it.
Oh, man. I hear you.
Yeah, we're a couple minutes early yet anyway, so...
Well, I'm going to start recording in about 30 seconds. No, actually, right now.
Okay.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special edition Wednesday night, here at Your Remedies in the Law. Tonight, of course, we're pleased to bring back an information provider from some of our past shows, returning again, very excited, on the subject of credit cards, Mr. Michael Maris. My name is Martin. I'll be your host for this evening's conference brought to you by Your Remedies in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer. Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you are on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone joining this call looking for legal advice has no place or business here. Nobody here at Your Remedies in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. Should you require legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes. It's just folks saying what they might do were they similarly situated to you. You might get a little bit of education out of it, but mainly you're just going to get folks' opinions about what they might do. However educated and experienced these thoughts and opinions might be, they are just people's opinions nonetheless, and it's always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. I'd like to go over a few things here with Your Remedies in the Law, if I could, very quickly. First of all, if I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com, if we look up in the upper right-hand corner, we see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you'll have a separate page come up with just two items on it. These two items are of much importance, though, especially if this is all new to you. First and most importantly on the left is the jurisdictionary course. This is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure, better known to some as American jurisprudence or AMJUR. The rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic understanding of what's going on and virtually any court scenario that you find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, mostly known for its high national win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's what it's most popularly acquired for. But that is not really why it's on this page. The reason that we have it up here with the jurisdictionary course is when you go through it, you'll notice that it utilizes a lot of the same fundamental procedures that you learned about in the jurisdictionary course, so it kind of acts as a real-life homework assignment. Also, for a lot of folks, it's their first time committing to action. Folks seem a little more willing to take that first step, probably because of such a high success rate and traffic scenarios being such a common interest in this country today. The common law default, although known majorly for traffic purposes, has many other. Truly, it's for most scenarios that you may find yourself in where there's no damage to property or person. It's just some entity is claiming you broke a rule, therefore you must pay a civil penalty. Both of these items are very affordably priced, the jurisdictionary with a contribution of $250 and the common law default at $150. Also on the subject of your remedies in the law, most of you are probably familiar now with Americans Restoring America. Every time you visit the homepage of yourremediesinthelaw.com, you are met with that blue box that pops up asking if you'd like to continue on to the site that you were visiting or stay and visit Americans Restoring America. The reason that we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. There are multiple information providers talking about multiple subjects, as well as many other features and study groups at Your Remedy is in the Law. And Your Remedy is in the Law is just one of a couple dozen websites that altogether make up Americans Restoring America. So there's quite a bit for you to see, and we hope that you'll do just that at your leisure. If you have any questions about whether or not we have an information provider that could give you their personal educated opinion about your particular situation, get a hold of us at yourremediesinthelaw.com, and we'll be happy to assist you in any way that we can. Statewide communications. If you're not already a member, please do sign up. Tell your friends and family about it. That's that map of the United States that you see on virtually every site that we have. It's a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict, pre-decided topics of discussion. Essentially, how it works is this. A wizard will walk you through a very easy setup. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then it will walk you through the remainder of the setup. And then you'll get to a point where it will ask you, what are your hot points? What are you interested in? This could range anything from credit card issues, home foreclosure, IRS matters, asset protection, or maybe veterans' rights, maybe personal health rights, anything that you can think of. And if it affects your personal rights in one way or another, you should find it in that list or something that's close enough. When the setup is complete, it puts it all together, much of how you think of a social network, though nothing like a social network. It's very custom. It's very private. But it then puts you in contact with people in your local area that have similar interests to you. The idea here is to put the power of education and communication back in the hands of the common man. If you are in need of legal advice or you need someone to represent you, you're going to have to get an attorney. It's just that simple. But if there was a way, a private place that you could go to discuss matters, your personal opinions, their personal opinions, with people that were like-minded, maybe you jump online one day and you say, this happened to me today. First person comes back and says, well, I disagree with that. I don't think they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. Well, that's probably not going to be of a tremendous amount of help to you. Well, maybe the next person comes on and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do were I similarly situated. I'd watch these YouTube videos, and then I'd go down there to my local county courthouse, go to the law library, get a law dictionary, and look up these terms. Maybe the next person after that says, those all sound like great ideas. I'd also go to this particular website and check out these educational materials that might assist you in your learning. for you to go and do some due diligence on what you're reading. Just people's suggestions, people's opinions at all. But if you did some due diligence and educated yourself, maybe the farther you got into it, you discovered that it's not as difficult as you initially thought it would be because you're focused on one single subject. And you get to a point where you've educated to yourself, and now you're handling your own affairs, your own matters. Well, folks, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. And that's all we're trying to do here at Statewide Communications is just very simply get people to start talking again. Of course, there's no cost to you for using Statewide Communications, either signing up the regular using of it. And so we hope that you'll pass that around. Freedoms Radio. If you're over the road, you don't want to deal with the call process, maybe you're just new to your remedies in the law and you don't yet have your username and password, therefore you can't see the phone number and the PIN. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a membership to your remedies in the law, it's very easy. You just simply click the register button, fill out your basic information there. You'll enjoy the first 30 days for free to evaluate it. After that, it converts to a very affordable $10 a month on your credit card or your PayPal. But every single call is recorded. You have years of archives to go through, a vast wealth of knowledge, as well as many other wonderful features. But if that's not an option for you today, you have freedomsradio.com. Every night the calls go out over here at 9 p.m. Eastern live. There's also the question bar there where you can type in a question, click submit. As long as that's during call hours, that will pop up on the moderator screen, and we do our best to read every single one of those questions out over the air as long as they are appropriate. So you don't get the one-on-one with the information provider like you would be by being a private member, but you do get your questions answered. There's no cost to utilize Freedoms Radio, so no matter where you are or your circumstances, you never have to miss a call again if you don't wish. All right, winding down here, I'd like to go over one last bit of housekeeping. This is your caveat emptor, or your buyer beware. For any purchase that you may make, if your remedy is in the law or any of the other sites underneath the umbrella of Americans Restoring America, when you come aboard and you go with an information provider, you are doing just that. Information providers pay Mr. Edward for advertising at your remedy is in the law. This payment would be an expense to that information provider along with any other expenses that they might have associated with your particular product or service. When you contact us, all we simply do is listen to your particular scenario, quickly deduce from a list of folks that, honestly, most of you would probably never be able to find on your own just simply because they can't be found. And we make those introductions. Not every part on the information provider is always going to be successful. Everybody always hopes for the best. We plan for the best. And believe you me, we aim for the best. But unavoidable things do sometimes happen. And when they do, you have to roll with them and deal with them as you would with anything else in life. Again, we also want to emphasize, though, that the intent is always to be successful. If you have any questions of that, we welcome you to visit www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com/testimonials and see what others have had to say about these products and services. Now let's touch very quickly on the subject of refunds or the refund policy. There is none. Not at your remedy is in the law anyway. Of course, when you come aboard and you go with a particular information provider, again, that is exactly what you're doing. So any discussion of a refund or a credit would be a strict and private matter between you and the information provider, and even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You are expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right, lastly, pertaining here to all of the information providers at your remedies in the law, we'd like you to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conferences are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it.
All right, that is my ramble for this evening, folks. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to turn the call over at this time to Mr. Edward, and he will introduce our speaker for this evening.
Yeah, well, thank you so very much, Martin. I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, before I introduce our speaker this evening, I'd like to give a real short background so that you have a global understanding of where the speaker is coming from and where the speaker is going with the products and services that are being offered through our speaker tonight with regards to credit cards. Everyone who has credit card issues that has been subpoenaed to appear in court, noticed to appear in court in a civil action, knows the dragged out process that you go through in litigation. I want to assure you that Mr. Maris's process here has really not a whole lot to do with that, and actually is focusing on the federal question with regards to acts committed by Congress, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, the Telephone Protection Act. And what you're going to learn is by redirecting your energies towards the acceptance of the collector's multiple mistakes through their own ignorance in debt collection, their willful ignorance, that you will end up in a position 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, a year later, where you are now in control of exactly what's going on, and they are coming to you, sometimes begging for mercy. Without any further ado, it's my sincere pleasure to welcome back an information provider who's been on a real long hiatus. Here he is live, Mr. Michael Maris.
Thank you, Mr. Edward Martin. Thanks a lot, guys. Good introduction. I appreciate it. I'm going to reiterate what Martin said earlier. I'm not an attorney. I'm not giving anybody legal advice. But I have beaten a few attorneys. And no, I didn't go to law school. And when the lawyers ask me that, I've had them say to me, Mr. Maris, did you go to law school? Are you a lawyer? And no, I'm not a lawyer. I didn't go to law school, and my answer is quite simple. Did Abraham Lincoln go to law school? And folks, I kid you not, if you go in and Google how many U.S. justices of the Supreme Court that never went to law school, you would be shocked. So what does that tell you? Basically, it tells me I can read a book as good as anybody else. And that's what this boils down to. Mr. Edwards was mentioning the consumer laws that protect you from debt collectors and debt collector attorneys. And most people have no clue that these laws are even out there. And the Fair Credit Reporting Act, which forces the credit lenders, credit card companies, banks, auto lenders, whatever it is, to follow rules. And I can assure you, 99% of the time, they don't follow the rules. And that's where the door opens with my processes to go after them under consumer protection law. And I'll give you a brief background. I've been doing this, I guess, since about 2002 or 2003. I got in trouble many years ago myself, and I worked for a major corporation, and, you know, today they want to pull your credit report when you get hired and all that. You got a messed up credit report, you don't get a job. I've had people tell me they couldn't even get a job at McDonald's because their credit report is so bad. Okay? Anyhow. That's one part of the story. But the point is, I started getting into this, and I got everything taken care of, but they kept bad-mouthing me in my credit report. And I'd call up the creditor and say, hey, you know, I caught everything up. I'm all paid up. The balance is paid. And you're going to put that bad-mouthing me for 7 years in the credit report? Well, we can't do anything about that. That was their answer to me. Fair Credit Reporting Act requires us to do that. Okay. You better read the Fair Credit Reporting Act a lot closer. Because, folks, let me give you just a brief example. Most people don't know how to read their credit report. You go in your credit report, the three major credit reporters, Experian, Equifax, TransUnion, And I'm willing to bet if you looked at the credit report from all three of those bureaus, you're going to see something different on each line for your credit. In other words, let's say you have a credit card with Citibank. One credit report's going to say, oh, yeah, you've got a balance of $4,000. Another credit report's going to say, oh, your balance is $3,500. And the third credit report will say $2,500 balance. They can't do that, folks. They can't do that. You read the Fair Credit Reporting Act, it says in there, they must report accurately. No erroneous information. Well, if you're looking at three credit reports and each credit report has something different in it, how is that not inaccurate or erroneous? And that's what opens the door. Has nothing to do whether you owe them money or you're a don't owe them any money, okay? They've got to report it accurately, and when they don't, it's a $1,000 violation per credit report across three credit reports, $3,000 times every day they break the law. So a rough idea, 30 days, you got a $90,000 lawsuit. And this is something you handle in the federal courts. The federal courts are very friendly. They're not like the local courts. I tell people my courses that Mr. Edward offers, opening statements say, if you're in trouble, don't wait for them to sue you and bring you into the local court. Go after them now because there's ways to do it right up front. And surprisingly enough, even if you're up to date on your credit cards, you'll find errors in your credit report, and you can go after them. And what are they going to do to you? Because you're up to date. They're not coming after you. So is there a chance you could get rid of a credit card? Yeah. I don't endorse anybody doing that, but I've had a few of my students who say, hey, I'm just going to go out and get more credit cards, run up the credit, and then when they screw up the credit report, I'm going to go after them and make them pay me to go away. I says, well, that's, now that you learned how to do this, that's your decision. I can't tell you yes or no. Personally, my credit score is 816. I get it every month from my FICO score from Discover Card. Yeah, I got one of them. Yeah, okay. So I have AAA credit. Everybody wants to loan me money. But the point is getting there. And how do you stop them when they're coming after you? And if you're in default and you're getting contacted by debt collectors, Mr. Edward had mentioned that earlier, you're dealing with the scum of the earth, okay? They don't care. They'll do anything. They want to drag you in that local court. I have another group I'm involved with. They brought me on about a year ago as a consultant to kind of slow the situation down when you're getting sued in the local court. Well, most people don't know what to do. They show up in court. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to handle it. And I show you how to do a motion to dismiss based on the fact that the court has no jurisdiction over you because there's no proof of the debt in front of the court. All it is a piece of paper that says you owe me money. Pay me or I'm going to sue you. That's what the paperwork says. Read it. And then we do a sworn denial. We have a thing in this country called due process of law. You can accuse me of anything you want. I have a right to deny it, and you need to prove it. So we do a sworn denial. It's a one-page document. You sign it. You notarize it. It's real simple. Hey, I don't recall this is my account. If it is my account, the amount being sued for isn't the right amount. And it's all lawyerese talk, just the way the lawyers talk, okay? And you submit that in. And the whole idea, folks, is it forces the case to trial as opposed to having to show up there in 30 days in front of the judge and you don't know what to say or what to do and not asking them to prove anything. The point is you push it to trial. California right now, it's about a year to go to trial in the local courts out in California because they're so backed up. Some areas it's 3 or 4 months. And the point of that is, my question to you is at that time, what are you going to do now? you're going to, this gives you the time to go after them from a totally different angle, which is, again, the courses that are offered by Mr. Edward and his group, dealing with the creditors or how to get them out of your credit report and how to stop debt collectors. Not big, big books, about 60, 65 pages, simple reading, easy to understand, links to various government sites, the PACER site, public access to court electronic records, because I don't want you to believe anything I'm saying. You go into PACER, you look me up. That's where all the federal cases are. They're public law. You can put my name in there and see the six times I was in federal court. Okay? So, you know, that's the knowledge you gain, because they don't teach consumer law in law schools. It's an option for them. So they're not schooled in this. But with the Debt Collection Practices Act, there's certain things they have to do. When they contact you first time, whether they're sending you notice of a lawsuit or just a threatening letter, you're going to send a letter of validation. And that letter of validation is part of the rules. And the validation letter is quite simple. It's a one-pager, and I won't go into all of it, but it kind of starts out, hey, Mr. Debt Collector, I don't know who you are. I never did any business with you. You never loaned me any money. I sworn to under penalty of perjury that I owe you money. And a lot of times when they get that letter, they say, uh-oh, we're dealing with somebody who knows something. Maybe we just better send this back to the creditor and let them send somebody else after them. Believe me, I've seen it happen quite a bit, okay? The point is, they've got 30 days to respond to that letter. And if they don't validate the debt to you, they must cease collection, period. That's what the law says. I don't make it up. Go read the Debt Collection Practices Act. Federal law, folks. It's right in there. Anyhow, and I'll get into a little detail on some of this. You get some of these guys, you take them up to federal court. It's very simple. They're very friendly there. You very seldom go before the judge. The only time you go before the judge, if they don't want to settle, you go in for a conference meeting, not a trial, not a hearing, a meeting with the judge and the defendants. You're the plaintiff now, so now you got the defendants in there, and they will set, generally, depending on what jurisdiction you live in, a date to start discovery. Discovery is 6 months in federal court, and that's where you get to ask all the little questions that they don't want to answer. And, yes, I've been there. And a lot of times if they come back with answers, and that's enough to call for summary judgment right there. People have come to me. I don't do the foreclosure stuff. But I've had plenty of people come to me and say, Mark, I don't want to do the foreclosure stuff with all the real estate laws and all that's very time consuming and confusing. I want to go after them with your stuff. I said, now you got it. Go in and take a look at your credit report and how that creditor, the bank, is reporting the information. The guy foreclosing on you is a debt collector. Validate. And when they fail to do these things and they don't fix the issues, which most of the time they don't, that opens the door to hit them from a totally different angle. Has nothing to do with the debt or monies claimed to be owed. That's the beauty of this stuff. So I always liked it. I'm an engineer by trade, and I'm a data guy. Show me the data, show me the facts. And that's what this stuff is about. Show me you're following the rules, I can't touch you. But they don't follow the rules because they don't care. It's that simple. Talk about the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, the TCPA, another federal law. That has skyrocketed over the past 3 or 4 years, the cases that have come up to court on that. Now, I'm going to give you one. There's a lady about a year and a half ago up in Wisconsin, and she had two cars repossessed on her. Well, of course, when they repossess a car, they wholesale it out and they want the balance. So the debt collector out of Texas came after her. and they were calling her and calling her and calling her. They called her over 1,000 times in 1 year. Well, TCPA is kind of simple. It says, number one, you call me, you must have permission to call me. One more time, they must have permission to call you. So if you've got a debt collector calling you who you've never done business with, how the heck do they have permission to call you? And again, see, they hope you don't know this stuff. That's the first part. They must have permission to call you. The second part, they must not use robocalls, automated calls. Number three, it must not cost you any time or minutes, like on a cell phone. Any one of those three issues is a $1,500 penalty per phone call. I tell people, I have people that are in a credit card, they're tied up with $3,000. I says, I hope they call you 10 times because then they'll pay you $15,000 to go away. And as soon as you get their check, you pay the credit card off and they say, here you go, boys. Nice doing business with you. Think about that one. So the TCPA can all be incorporated into one complaint in the federal court. In the federal court, some of the bigger districts have a pro se office. Pro se, the legalese meaning, for yourself. For yourself. That's what you are when you go into federal court. You're pro se, you're representing yourself. They have these pro se offices that you can go into, and they will help you with paperwork. So if you're uncomfortable doing the paperwork, which my courses have the basic paperwork, questions can be sent to Mr. Edward. He gets back and forth with me on this stuff. But anyhow, the point is, it's once you learn this, nobody can take it away from you. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. And you don't have to be Einstein to do it. You got to be pretty good with copying and pasting in Word, you know, that kind of stuff. If you could do that, you're going to have it made. Okay? So it's mostly paper pushing. Mostly paper pushing. When you go after these guys, you'll have your lawsuit built up, and let's hypothetically say it's a $90,000 lawsuit, just for chuckles. Well, you can ask for damages, too. So you put a number on the damages. But here's the killer, folks. If they want to continue into federal court, they must hire an attorney. This is the defendant, not you, the plaintiff. You're the plaintiff. They must hire an attorney admitted to the federal bar. Just because you're a lawyer doesn't mean you can go into federal court. Can't do that. You've got to be admitted to the federal bar. So think about what I'm going to tell you. You go into the big banks on a credit card or whatever, and you go after them, and you got a $90,000 lawsuit. Send them notice, okay, they don't respond, they don't want to settle. You file, they got 21 days to answer the complaint. They have to go hire this attorney that's admitted to the federal bar. Now, put yourself in that attorney's position, and here's a big bank contact, you saying, got this company, this guy is suing us, we need to be represented, would you be willing to take the case? And, of course, the attorney's sitting right there says, well, yeah, I require a $5,000 retainer, and then after the case moves forward, it will be on an hourly basis. So let's just say $10,000 to represent these guys over the course of time, the paper pushing. So you're looking for $90,000. The bank's got to pay them $10,000, and they're trying to collect $6,000 from you on a credit card. So let me get my numbers straight here. $90,000, you win. $10,000 for the lawyer, that's $100,000, and they're trying to collect $6,000 from you. Do you see the picture, folks? Do you see the picture? It's so simple. It's money. And it has nothing to do with what you owe. It's the laws and the rules they broke in attempting to collect this thing. How did it? And unsolicited phone calls. That's what it boils down to. And that's the beauty of it. That's the hardest thing I have to teach people is they come to me and, well, you know, I have this credit card. $5,000, well, how am I going to pay it? And this stuff has nothing to do with the credit card. It's what they're supposed to do when you're challenging them. And then I'll do one more. About a year and a half, 2 years ago, you're going to love this one. They messed with the wrong guy, as usual. I did a streamlined refinance on one of my homes. And it's a pretty laid-back process. Takes a couple of weeks. Went to the mortgage company, and they took care of everything. The FHA mortgage, and they had sent me letters saying, hey, you can refinance, get a lower interest rate. Well, that's a good idea. So I went to the mortgage company, and they did everything right. It was the end of September. And we went to the closing. The whole process took 2 weeks, one, two, three. There was no appraisals, none of that stuff. It's a refi. And they cut the check. They showed me the check that they were sending to my mortgage servicer. I won't mention their name. But they showed me the check. The check was $242,000, which was the balance due on the home. Okay, great. They said to me, Mike, we're going to send that out FedEx overnight. Okay, great. Well, they sent the check out to FedEx. It was the end of September, around 27th of September, which I think was a Wednesday. And for some reason, when FedEx got to their office, I guess it was Friday or Saturday, the office was closed, and they couldn't deliver the check. So they didn't get the check till Monday, which was October 1st. They went into my credit report and said I was late 30 days, all three credit reports, but they took it a step further than that. They added in one other credit report, not only was I late, he's late for in October in one of the credit reporting agencies. I mean, really? Okay, you guys don't know who you're messing with. Okay? So I made some phone calls to him. Oh, no, we got to report that. I just want to get this straight. The check went out on the 27th. I can show that FedEx had it. You weren't open. I just give you a check for $242,000, and you turn around and treat me that way? Well, there's nothing we can do. We got a fair credit report. Okay, all right. Well, folks, I put the case together. I waited about 6 months, racked up the violations on them. By the time 6 months was up, I had $1.1 million lawsuit against them for violations of the Fair Credit Reporting Act for the way they were reporting it in my reports. I talked to the closing company. They told me, Mike, we'll come and testify in court for you that we sent this out on time. Come on, boys, you want to play? We'll play. So I sent them notice of pending lawsuit. I prepared the lawsuit. Here's what I'm going to do. Mr. Mortgage Servicer, $1.1 million in violations of the Fair Credit Reporting Act, damages, and I put in $50,000 in punitive damages. Anyhow, I sent the letter out, certified mail, cover letter on top, and this is how I instruct people to do it. You got 10 days to fix the problem. You don't fix the problem, this notice of pending lawsuit, on the 11th day I'm filing it. And then you can explain it to the judge and jury. Cure or be sued. It's that simple. Well, send it out. About 5 days before the 10th day arrived, I get a knock on my front door. And it's the FedEx guy who left the package on my mud mat in the front door. I reached down, opened the envelope, and here's a one-page letter in there. And I have it. I have all this stuff. Anybody wants to see it. It says, Mr. Maris, under consideration for you and blah, 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 we've instructed the credit bureaus to delete that information. And if you have any problems, please keep this letter so you can show the credit bureaus. And, of course, they put TransUnion, Experian, Equifax in there that they notified them. And then down at the bottom, it's signed by their legal department. Yeah, that's who I want to talk to. I don't want to talk to a clerk. And that's who you get most of the time when you deal with these guys. You're talking to a clerk who has no clue about the law. I immediately went to my computer, pulled my credit reports, and sure enough, every one of those were deleted. Every one of them was deleted. Totally gone. So that's the kind of power you can have with this. One more, and then we'll take some questions. I had a gentleman about 3 years ago. He was retired. This is a funny story. You're going to love this. He was retired, and he got behind $6,000 on a credit card. I think it was $6,000, if I remember. And he had an old debt collection company out of New Jersey. I won't mention their name. They've been around forever. They're the scum buckets of the world. Okay, they get all these accounts. Anyhow, they're coming after him for the $6,000. And he got my courses, and he's, Mike, I need help, blah, 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 blah. And I say, I understand. And we get going along here. Well, he was a senior citizen. And he has a limited income. Well, you hear this, folks. You're not making money. Federal court don't care about money. You can show them you're not making a decent living. You can't pay the $350 filing fee. No problem. You go and inform a pauperis. Again, the lawyer, he's Latin, as a poor person. And they give you everything free. What? Free. Try that in the local courts. Let me know how you make out. That's why federal, you can be heard. Anyway, we get going, and I'm talking to him, and I says to him, okay, so he says, well, this is an old credit card I had, Mike. I says, well, when did you stop paying on it? He says, oh, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 years ago. I says, what? He says, yeah. I says, what's the statute of limitations to collect on a debt where you live? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Every state has a time limit to collect on a debt. Some of the states, as little as 3 years. Some 20 years, depending on the type of debt. Credit card, 2 to 3 years, most states. They come after you after that time frame. They can't collect. They can harass you. They can badmouth you in the credit report for 7 years, but they can't sue you. Because state law. Well, this guy, I educated him. He went and he checked his statute of limitations, and sure enough, 3 years where he lived. I says, and they're coming after you now for $6,000. I says, you got these guys by the short ears. You want to play with them, or you just want to let them know that you're going to report them to the attorney general of the state you live in and let the attorney general go after them for violating the state laws collecting a debt that was outside the statute of limitations to collect on? He said, no, Mike. He said, I want to have some fun. He said, I can use some money. I said, okay, man. Just don't say nothing about that. Just go after him. Send the notice, which he did. Son of a gun, they hired a lawyer right away. He went down and filed in form of paupers at the local federal court. This is too funny. Anyhow, he filed. The lawyer finally, the lawyer's assistant called, you know, administrative assistant talked to him, said, well, they'd like a little more time to answer the complaint. Because they only have 21 days. And he contacted me tonight, and I says, well, tell him you'd be glad to give him more time, because that'll give you enough time to file your complaint with the attorney general of the state he was living in against them for attempting to collect a debt outside the statute of limitations. When he told them that, the girl hung up, the administrative assistant hung up. 5 minutes later, the lawyer called them. What's this about? And the guy told him, you're collecting the debt out. Oh, well, I didn't know that. Well, of course you didn't know that, Mr. Attorney. Your scumbag debt collector in New Jersey ain't going to tell you that. And what happened? What's it going to take to resolve this, sir? And I said, now it becomes just like buying a used car. Mr. Edward was talking about it earlier. He said, well, I'll take $6,000. Well, we won't pay that. Long story short, they settled in the middle. They gave him $3,000 to go away and agreed on a settlement agreement, which we always get, that they're not going to report this in the credit bureau and they're not going to sell it to another debt collector. So 6 months from now, you're going through the same stuff again. But that's the kind of results that are very, very possible doing this stuff. It can be fun once you learn how to do it. And I have guys, I've got a very close friend out in the Seattle area. He's a businessman. He's used the process several times and just kicked the crap out of him, excuse my English. But it's a good process once you learn how to do it. It's simple. Make them follow the rules. That's what it boils down to.
Mr. Maris, before you go on to Q&A, tell them about your buddy in Orlando.
Which one? I got a couple of them down there.
Well, tell them about the one that just really loves to twist him by the rope.
Oh, Larry. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah, he works for, actually, he works for the county down there. He's in the divorce courts, and he handles the when you got kids, you know, and a divorce, he manages that for the court. So he actually works in the court system down there. And he got into this stuff, and he just loves it. He won't take a settlement agreement from anybody. And I we've been on conference calls together, and he gets on the call and he says, I consider Mike Maris a brother in arms, but we disagree on one thing. I said, well, what is that? He says, I don't want a settlement agreement. I want these guys to come back after me again so I can go after them and make more money. I says, okay, I guess we can agree on that. If you want to do that, you can. But anyhow, that's some of the stuff you can learn doing this. And
is that
nice
the
to have
that,
the empowerment.
That got like 80, I'm sorry.
It's nice to have the empowerment to go up against these guys. Because you're talking big money corporations, you know?
Yeah.
And
is that the young man that got B of A for like 80 grand or something?
Yeah, I believe that was him. I don't ask people what they make. That's their business.
Yeah. All right, Martin, would you like to survey some phone calls, some questions here, please?
Star 2 on your keypad, folks, if you have a question. Thanks for everybody that's on the call with us. If you dialed in a number and you put in a PIN, star 2 at this time to raise your hand. For everybody else listening throughout the country at freedomsradio.com, type your questions in the question bar at this time and click submit.
While we're waiting for the board to populate, pressing
yep.
star 2 on your keypad, Martin was telling me about two people that he know that he's that he has he knows them, and they did nothing but listen to the archives of Mr. Maris in the past. Just
yep.
listen to the archives, and when they went into state court as a defendant, they had enough confidence.
Yep.
And enough knowledge based upon the multiple conversations that Mr. Maris has on the calls that each one of them never lost multiple credit card lawsuits.
I had a gentleman about a month or so ago that this group sent me over, and he's being sued in the local court. And he got and I got talking to him. I mean, the stuff that goes on is crazy. He's talking, he says, Mike, he says, in my complaint, they got a credit card number in there, but it's not my credit card number. I says, what? I says, it's not your, you never had that credit, no. I says, that's a motion to dismiss right there. Don't get no easier. Yeah, I says, plus it's going to buy you some time to hit him from another angle. But they're suing the guy, and they didn't even have me write account number on documentations in the local court. Can you imagine, folks? Can you imagine? just know what to look for.
Right.
I've heard so many stories with this stuff, it blows my mind, the stuff that goes on. But if you're willing to fight and to try it, and then a lot of people really suck this stuff in, you know, get to be like me, you just know what to do. And it's, yeah, you got to push some papers, a lot of it. Once you do one of these cases, it's going to be copying and paste. Take you an hour to put a complaint together if you need to, okay? Because it's going to be the same complaint. You're going to tell a story. Here's what happened, court. Here's what they did. And I'm bringing this action under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Violation one. Reported erroneous and inaccurate information in my three credit reports. Last 30 days, $90,000. Violation number two. People don't know how to read their credit report. Look at the left side of the report where the date says on there, the date it was opened. I'm willing to bet you'll find three different dates on the credit reports that say when the date of the account was opened. That's a violation. They must not report erroneous or inaccurate information. It's in the law, and it's stated just the way I said it. There's another. So now you've got $6,000 across three credit reports. And you just build the case up. Second violation, reported erroneous and inaccurate information by reporting wrong, the account was open. And then there are failures to do a proper investigation when you sent a letter of dispute to them. They didn't do an investigation, which they have to do within 30 days and get back to you. Another $3,000. You build the violations right up in no time. You're talking, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $25,000, $30,000 credit card. You're going to have that money built up in no time. The big question is, and this is what I tell everybody, do they want to go there and find out? Do they want to hire the attorney and then go before a jury of 12 people and pay $100,000 over a $20,000 credit card? That simple. It's that simple. And there's a 90% of the time they will settle with you right up front, especially on small amounts of money. So that's the neat part of this, is you can build up some numbers and get their attention pretty quick.
One of the expressions that I liked that you used to share with us, Mr. Maris, was when they would balk and try to negotiate, et cetera, you'd come back and say, you know,
yep,
perhaps you're right. Let's just go ahead and ask the jury what they think.
Right, right. I had lawyers I was up against personally in federal court. And, you know, folks, you're not in trial. You just go for a conference to discuss the case and what have you. It's not a trial or a hearing. It's a meeting. And the lawyers would come out after the meeting and get talking to me and say to me, well, you know, Mr. Maris, you can't do this and you can't do that. And I'd look at the lawyer and I'd say, Mr. Attorney, you may be right. Why don't we let the judge and jury decide? See if they want to go there, folks. It's that simple. I've done that more than once. And I've had attorneys look at me and they just don't have a clue what the heck I'm talking about. And to talk about the proverbial deer in the headlight because they don't understand consumer law. I sit there and they say, well, you have this credit card and you defaulted on it. I said, sir, this has nothing to do with the credit card or money's claimed to be owed. It's what your client failed to do under the law. And you watch their eyes get as big as the proverbial deer in the headlight. Yeah. Nothing to do with the money or whether I owe you money. It's what your client failed to do under the law. And that's why we're here, sir. And then they all of a sudden wake up and they go back to their client and say, oh, my God, I can hear the conversation. I think I ought to settle with this guy because he may have a good case and it could cost you, you know, quite a bit of money to defend on it. If it goes to trial, and they'll settle. But that doesn't happen very often. They don't want to go in front of a jury of 12 people. And I'll give you an example. the story I told you about the mortgage servicer with my mortgage, I just gave the guy $242,000, for God's sakes. If you were sitting on that jury and heard that story, the man paid off his note in full, the company's check out on the 27th, we have proof of that, it was before the end of the month. They couldn't deliver it because their bank, the office, the servicer was closed, and now you're bad-mouthing the guy? How is that his fault? Could you imagine if you were sitting on that jury, you'd give me everything I'd want? They don't want to go their debt collector in front of a jury? Where are you going to find a jury? And I always used to say this all the time. I says, you know them 12 people on the jury that don't have credit reports? How about the judge? You think the judge has got a credit report? You think maybe sometime in their life, maybe they got a run-in with the credit bureaus or a debt collector or had a brother, a sister, a son or daughter that got involved in a strip of horror stories, and now they got the SOBs standing in front of them in a courtroom, and you're sitting on that jury. What would you do? What would you do with what you know? Okay? So anyhow, it's interesting.
All right, we're going to go one more time for questions. If we don't have any questions, we're going to bring this call to a close and okay. Leave a standing invitation for Mr. Maris to return. Press star 2 on your keypad, ladies and gentlemen. Press star 2 on your keypad if you have a question or a comment. If not, we're going to bring this call to a close and inquire of Mr. Maris when he'd like to return and present again for us.
Everybody's sleeping.
No. Paul in Crawford, Indiana, has raised his hand. Let's see if we can't get him unmuted. Go ahead, Paul.
Hello. Yeah, I just had a quick question. Will this also work for, like, medical bills?
Oh, God, yeah. Medical bills are a lot of fun. I'll tell you the secret on medical bills, how you get their attention. I've had people do this, yeah. What you want to do is I tell people, when they start coming after you for a medical bill and they get in your credit report or they send a debt collector or they have an internal debt collection company in the hospital or doctor or whatever's involved, you're going to do this process. You're going to, you know, send letters of dispute, validation, and whatever. But what you're going to do, and I love this one, if it's a hospital, listen tight. It's a hospital or a medical center. Even if it's a doctor, you can do this. Walk down to the office. If you're in a hospital, you go to the receptionist. Who can I talk about your liability insurance to? And the person at the receptionist that's going to look at you wide-eyed, like, again, the proverbial deer in the headlight, well, they're up on the fifth floor, room 503. Okay, thank you. Just walk up to that room, walk in there, and ask them, who holds your liability insurance? And they're going to say to them, well, what do you want to know that for? Because I'm planning on taking you into federal court for violations of the Fair Credit Reporting Act and the Debt Collection Practices Act, and I want to make sure that you have the insurance to cover it when I win. You will get more attention than you ever got before, because here's what happens with medical providers' liability insurance. They get sued, their yearly rates go right up. That's why they don't like to get sued. And now you're telling them, I'm going to sue you in federal court for violations of the Fair Credit and Debt Collection Practices Act. And if you win, they're going to have their liability insurance pay for that. Okay? And now all of a sudden that liability insurance, can you imagine, it was just a doctor? And he's paying $50,000 a year for liability insurance, and now it's going to go to $100,000 a year. You want to get their attention? Come on, boys, let's play. You're trying to collect $20,000, $30,000 from me. You're not following the rules. I'm coming after you. It's that simple, man.
Sounds good. That was the only question I had.
Okay. But that's the tricky part. Yeah, it's just a little bit of knowledge. That's all you need. And I can assure you, you go in and talk to their office up there, their liability, and they have to give you that information. It's public knowledge. They can't say, oh, we're not going to tell you that. Really? You're a hospital that serves the public, and you're not going to tell me? And then you can, you won't run into that. They'll tell you who the provider is, whether it's Geico or whoever, but they'll tell you. But they'll want to know
now,
why.
Let me share with everybody what is being offered tonight. Mr. Mirrors is produced, actually it's been divided into two booklets, mm-hmm. two downloads, and the total cost is $600. The division is placed upon, one is the debt collector and the other is the credit bureau, I believe. Is that correct, Mr. Mirrors?
The Fair Credit Reporting Act, the titles, I'll go over them real quick, is How to Stop Debt Collectors, and the other one is Dealing with the Creditors, or How to Get Them Out of Your Credit Report.
And the thing is, you need both of them, because it's a whole picture. We divided them up into two $300 parcels so that you could take a bite out of it if you needed to deal with one and then the other. But it's $600 for the two. And I just encourage you to get in touch with either myself or Martin. You've got the 1-800-625-4250, 1-800-625-4250. Or mm@yourremedyisinthelaw.com, mm@yourremedyisinthelaw.com. And if you have any further questions for Mr. Mirrors, just go ahead and send them to Martin, if you would, and he will be happy to forward the questions to Mr. Mirrors for you.
Yeah, and let me clarify, too, you know, I work for a living, okay? I'm not in debt over my head or anything crazy like that. I'm sure there's organizations out there that would want a lot more money, okay? But I'm not greedy. The point is, folks, what happens with me, I don't advertise that much, and Mr. Edward will tell you that, okay? But I got people chasing me out of the blue. Friends tell friends and pass on. And that's why I'm still involved with this stuff after all these years. It just doesn't go away. So I'm not looking to become a millionaire. I'm here to help you out. And, yeah, it's a little steady cash coming in, pays the gas bills for the car and what have you. But the point is, I'm not a millionaire with this stuff. Okay, Mr. Edward, it's all yours.
Yes, thank you, Michael, Mr. Mirrors. The other thing I wanted to ask you about before we close the call down tonight, this federal court, now that's like a separate thing. Do you have any kind of support for that? What are you doing for the people that are going into federal court who have zero clue, you know, what they're doing there, other than they're following your booklet?
Right. Other than the courses, okay, the courses outline, the forms are in there. And it's very simple. You go to your local federal court website, you'll find everything right there. But this explains to you how to get there. Okay? And there's samples of complaints in the books and what have you. But the point is, if it moves ahead, okay, and you can't get anywhere on the front end, then we can come in and support you. And essentially, you know, there is a fee for that, but it's a 60-40 chance. You know, 60-90% of the time, they're going to settle with you before you got to go there. If you go into discovery in federal court, it's a 6-month process, really. Okay? You get to ask a lot of pointed questions, admissions and denials, production of documents, interrogatories. You get to ask 25 of those and admissions and denials from the defendant, and they have to answer them. All right? And that's down the road if that happens. And then, you know, there's a fee involved to bring me on for 6 months. It's very reasonable. And to work that out with Mr. Edward, and we go from there.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good. Well, Mr. Mirrors, would love to have you back sooner than later. Any thoughts on that?
Well, maybe next month around the same time would be good.
All right. I'll go ahead.
Unless I'm traveling. Unless I'm traveling. I just got back. I was a week on one of our projects up in Washington State. Thank God the fires were all out.
Right. Yeah.
All
in fact,
right.
I have some friends up in Washington State that the fires got as close as 15 miles to them, and they were getting ready to be evacuated.
Yeah, yeah. I got up there about a week or two after the fires had been, you know, they got rain, and when it was very nice, but it was a little chilly up there, but at least there were no fires on the Columbia River. So.
Right.
Yeah, very nice.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, one thing that I'll probably do in 2 weeks, I will probably replay this audio, this call, in 2 weeks. So if you have any friends that you know of that have an interest in hearing and learning about credit card issues and how to deal with them, not only can they tomorrow go to the archives at yourremedyisinthelaw.com and listen to this repeated as many times as they want, or they're welcome to come on the call live in 2 weeks, and we'll be repeating this one more time again. And then in 2 weeks following that, Mr. Maris will return again live to do direct questions and answers. Okay?
Okay.
Excellent. Martin, you want to close this out, please?
All right. Join us again tomorrow night, same time, same place. We'll be having our normal Thursday night call with Glenn. We'll be discussing various home foreclosure remedies. This is a quickly growing information provider with a lot of very powerful information. Join us again for that tomorrow night. Until next time, have a pleasant evening and be well.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. moderator has left the conference.